We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
This is one that is very dear to me because as someone who loves to sing, someone who loves to worship, I love to study about David. We're going to do a two-part series on David because David's life is a lot of great information. There's a lot of great stories. David was a man that we've heard before, and you've heard me say that was a man after God's own heart, a man that God loved dearly, but he wasn't perfect. Today we're going to look at David, the warrior, sort of entitled this Run to the Fight, and we're going to look at a very familiar story. How many of you remember the story of David and Goliath? Right? David and Goliath, right? You remember the story growing up as a little kid? Your parents would tell it to you, and some of you as parents are telling it, you know, teaching your kids the story of David and Goliath. But when we see that story sometimes, we look at it as if it's just a story we tell to our kids. And I'm guilty because I don't go back and study this like I should. Because if we begin to look at this story of where Israel was at this point in history, we look at the context of what was happening, what was going on, there's some great lessons that we can learn, things that we can remember. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you have your Bible, your smartphone, your iPads, whatever you've got to look, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to have one, raise your hands and our ushers will be more than happy to bring you one. If you don't have a Bible, if I don't even own a Bible, Pastor, hey, see us after church. We'll make sure you get a Bible. Everyone needs a Bible. So we're going to read this story starting in chapter 17, verse 8 through 11. But before I do, I want to take a moment and sort of set the scene. Set the scene of what's happening. Now, many of us today, we're going to leave here. We're going to go, our kids, our youth are going bowling. We're going to go home, probably have a light lunch. We're going to gather ourselves together. We're going to get all those snacks built up. Some of you are already wearing the Gronk jerseys. Get ready for the big game, the big Super Bowl, right? How many of you are getting ready for the Super Bowl? You ready to watch the Super Bowl? You excited? All right. There's a lot of preparation that has to happen for us. Okay, the teams are, they prepare. They've done their preparation. We've got our preparation. We've got to go home and get those hot wings on, get those chip and dip out, right, Dioma? Get all that stuff ready. So if you want to go home quickly today to get all that stuff ready for the Super Bowl, I want you to talk back to me, okay? I want you to shout back. I want you to say amen. Gabe, a big amen. Preacher, pastor, all right? That will go quickly. So let me peel this story. What's happening? Israel is now under the king, King Saul. And Saul has taken this army, and they're meeting the Philistines. Now, the Philistines were the rivals. Kind of like the Super Bowl, so, you know, you got this rival, it's this trash talk that's been going on, and you got the Patriots on one side, and, you know, you've got the Seahawks on the other side, and in the middle there's this valley. Well, that's what it was like. You've got the Israelites on one side of this valley, on these hills, and on this mountain. On the other side, you've got the Philistines. In our case, the Patriots, right, they're going to be the Israelites, and the Seahawks, they're going to be the Philistines. Are you with me? How many of you, here we go, preach it. How many of you Seahawks fans? Right? Good. So you're on the right side because I know how the story ends. All right. Some folks lost their head. So here we are. You've got the Israelites on one side. You've got the Philistines on the other. And this has been an ongoing battle. These two nations have been fighting each other for a long time. When they went in, Joshua, when they went into the land to take the promised land, they were able to pretty much capture all the land and take all the cities. But these Philistines were a thorn in their side. They were constantly causing trouble. They could not conquer these people. So here they are. They're at this valley. And here comes this giant, this great warrior. He comes out. And he stands out in the middle of this valley. And he begins to call forth. He says, send me your greatest warrior. Send me the one who, if I send me a man to come and fight. It was very common in that day, instead of the armies lining up like we normally see them through our history, lining up face to face and facing each other and going at each other, it was real common for them to send out their greatest warriors. And their greatest warriors would come out and fight one on one, and the winner, whoever the winner was, that nation would be the victor. Because it saved a lot of time and it saved a lot of manpower. These weren't millions and millions of warriors. These were several thousand. And they didn't want to lose all these warriors, lose all these men in the battle, so they would send out their warriors. Let's pick up the story here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's begin in verse 8. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. This is Goliath. Why have you come out to draw up from battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? The servants of Saul is a very important statement here. We're going to look at that. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man. Remember that statement. Give me a man. That we may fight together. And then when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Lord, I pray today as we begin to study your word. Lord, we look at the truth of your word today. Lord, let it speak to us. Father, let us be challenged by your word today. Let your word come alive, not just ink on paper, Father, but let it come alive in our spirits and in our hearts. Lord, we want to lean in today and listen. We want to listen to what you want to say to us through this story, through this message. God, you have the ability to come today and speak to each one of us in a unique way. And I pray, Lord, as we study your word, that you would speak to us. So here's where they are in the story. Goliath is standing there saying, hey, give me a man. Send me a man. He's looking for a man to come to the fight. He's looking for someone to battle with. He's looking for a man. And what happened was, is when Israel saw him standing there in his great stature, this was a big man. The Bible says that he was 6 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches. So he was somewhere around 8 to 9 feet tall. And they begin to describe his armor, his weapons. This was a big guy. I'm a little fella compared to Goliath. I'm only 6'5". I'm a little guy. So can you imagine walking out and seeing this huge man and this army behind him standing there talking trash and shouting out, send me a man. It says that Israel and Saul, they were greatly afraid. This is what had happened. At this point with Israel, something happened in their hearts, in their mind. Battle had already been won. It was over. Battle was over. The fight, Goliath had already won the fight. He'd already got into the minds and the heart because they were greatly afraid. As they're standing there trembling at this great warrior who's calling someone out, this is what happens. Here comes this ruddy, little, blue-eyed, handsome, young little guy comes strolling up. Here comes David. He's strolling up. He sees all this going on. Here he comes. He's got some bread and some cheese and some goodies to bring to his brothers. And he hears this. He hears this, what's going on. He hears the defilement that's coming out of the mouth of this giant. He hears him coming against Israel. What do you think was going on in the heart of this young man? There was a battle that had to be fought. Let me bring it to us today a little bit, because I think we all are faced with battles. We all are standing there. We see the giant who's standing there in the valley calling us out. He's ready to fight. Question is, are we ready? Maybe that battle for you today is, hey, maybe I'm going to lose my kids. Maybe that battle you're faced with today is, maybe I'm at a battle where I may lose my marriage. Maybe that battle for you today is, maybe I'm going to die of cancer, or I'm going to stay sick. Or maybe I'm going to lose everything I've saved up for, all the money I've worked so hard for. All you Calebs out there we talked about last week. Those of you who are close to retirement, maybe the battle is, I'm going to lose all of that. I'm not going to have enough. Maybe I'm going to lose my house. Whatever it is, I know you have a battle. And the voices, they come to us. And here's what happens. Just like what happened to Saul, what happened to Israel, you begin to lose courage. You begin to lose heart. Because what you see with your eyes and what has happened in your mind and your heart, you've been defeated. We're going to continue with this story because there's some great things that happened. And David steps up to the bat. You know, if you're going to follow Jesus, how many of us are following Jesus? Let me see a show of hands. Every hand should go up, right? Yes, I'm following Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, listen, it's a glorious thing to follow Jesus. You will face a battle. That's a fact. You're going to face a battle in life. And if you're going to stare down that giant, because we know that's what they were doing, they were staring at him, what was going through their mind as they were staring the giant down. If you're going to stare down that giant, if you're going to look him in the face, I think through this story of David, because David had it, David had something figured out. There's some things that we need to remember, and here's the number one. Number one is to remember the stories of yesterday. Don't get confused about last week. Last week we talked about Joshua. And Joshua had to bury the past. This is different. Joshua had to bury the past. Joshua had to bury the fact that Moses was the leader. And Moses had moved on. And now it was Joshua's turn to take up the call. It was his opportunity to take on the call of God and go into the promised land and take it. But first thing he had to do was come to the realization, come to the fact, come to the conclusion that Moses is gone, he's not coming back, and the call is upon me. And I believe at this point now, Joshua could probably put himself in this story. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We all say that scripture time and time again, right? Oh, I believe he never changes. Are we saying that with our hearts, or are we just saying that with our voices? So this is what happens. Let's continue with the story in the same book there, in the same chapter. Let's go down to verse 34. And let's look at what David does. He sees what's going on. He talks to his brothers. He sees the fear in the eyes of all the Israelite soldiers, the warriors that were there. And he begins to tell them something. And he goes to Saul and he tells Saul this. He says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took the lamb from the flock, I went after him.'" Now, this is David before Saul. He's telling him, he says, what he said now, he's walked up there and says, "Hey, I'll go fight this giant. I'll do it. Let me go." And he goes before Saul, he's telling him, he says, "I'll do it. I will go to the fight." Here's why. Because there's something worth fighting for. And here's what David did. He began to remember the stories of the past. And in verse 35, this is what David begins to say. And I want you to listen. This is awesome. I don't think we have yet grabbed a hold of this story and really the truth of what David is saying and what happened. This is great. Verse 35, "I went after him." Notice he went after the bear, he went after the lion, "and delivered it," the sheep, the lamb, "out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, I struck him, and I killed him." Listen. This is pretty awesome. Do you see what he's saying here? This is a young boy. He's a teenage boy. He's probably about this tall. I don't know. I'm just imagining. The Bible says he was ruddy. He was scrawny. He wasn't a big guy. The Bible says over when he was anointed, several chapters over when he was anointed, it says when Samuel saw him, he says he was a ruddy young man with blue eyes and a handsome face. That's what the word says. He was not a big guy. But look at what he said he did. It says that when the bear and the lion came, can you imagine that? The bear and the lion came. And they took the sheep, because when I used to hear the story, this is how I used to hear the story. This is the way my mind played it out, because this is what happens. We play these stories out in our mind. My mind said, well, he was there sitting on a rock, you know, under a tree, playing his harp. "Ooh, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," right? And he sees this bear come along and snatch up one of the little lambs and is ready to take off with it. And we imagine him, you know, putting his rock in his sling and slinging his sling out and throwing the rock out there. It hits the bear in the head. The bear goes, "Oh!" And the bear runs off. And he runs out and he grabs a little lamb and says, "Bad bear," and he comes back, right? That's how we tell the story. But that's not what happened. Here's what David says. The bear came and he took the lamb. And I went after him. I ran toward the bear and I grabbed him by his beard and I struck him with the stick. And I took the lamb out of his mouth and the bear rose up against me. And when he rose up against me, I grabbed him by his face. I grabbed him by his hair and I beat him to death. That's what happened. It wasn't a pretty little, "Lord, it's my shepherd." That wasn't what it was. He went after him. He went towards the battle. And here's what he's telling Saul. He's telling Saul, he says, "Look, I can defeat the giant. I can beat him. You know why? Because I've done it in the past." Remember, how many of you, I have a question for you. How many of you have been in a spiritual battle and you've won? Lift your hands up. How many of you won? Look around. We have been in those battles and we have won. You have a story. You have gone after the bear. You have gone after the lion and you have defeated them. You've killed them. You've won the battle. Can you imagine if we put that in today's terms, right? David goes to school. First day of school. Sitting there in homeroom class. Hey, what'd you do this summer? I killed a lion, killed a bear, you know, with my stick. Oh, really? What'd you do? Went to band camp. Got my braces off. He had a story. We all have a story. And the story that we must remember because we've had victories in the fight. Never forget those stories. Never forget the victories in the past. We have a story to tell and must remember it. Retell your story. Remember your story. Your victories. Your overcoming. There's a parallel to this particular part of Scripture in Revelation in the New Testament. Because I think David had caught a hold of something. David had something that happened in his heart when he was watching those sheep. Revelation chapter 12, we read this, and they have conquered him, talking about the enemy, the devil. They have conquered him, or they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, right? And what? By the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Your testimony is simply your story. Your testimony is a story of how God has used you, how God has brought you through the victory, how you have won. That's your story. That's your testimony. It's a witness to the things that you have seen. A witness. It means you've seen it with your eyes. You've watched it happen. And this is the other part of that. It says, and they loved not their lives even unto death. This is, I believe, what marked our first century believers. The church in the first century, what really set them apart was the fact that they were not afraid to die. They did not fear death. David did not fear death. He had a responsibility. He had a job. He was a shepherd. He was supposed to take care of those sheep. Just as Jesus Christ says, he says, look, he said, a good shepherd, he said, he will leave the 99 to go and rescue and find the one lost. This is what David had done. When they came and took the lambs, he was responsible for them. And he was not going to let anybody come on his watch and take anything that God had given him the opportunity to watch over. That's a good shepherd. That's a good pastor. I hope to be that way as a pastor. You can conquer the fear of death. And if you can conquer that fear, if you can conquer that fear of death, you can conquer any other thing that happens in your life. Here's the second thing. The second thing that we need to remember as we face down the giants in our life is this. Remember to be yourself. The most significant things that we can do for the kingdom of God. And remember, we're here to advance the kingdom of heaven here upon this earth. And one of the greatest things that we can do in the kingdom of God, right, is to use your gifts, to use your talents, to use your strengths. And do not compare yourself to someone else. Let's continue on with this story here, what's happening. So here David is. We're going to move on to chapter 17, verse 38. Here David is. Now he's at in the court of the king. And he's standing there telling them, he says, look, I'm going to go fight this guy. I'm going to fight the giant. I know I can do it because I've done it in the past. And look what happens here. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go. For he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Look at what's happening. We've got to be ourselves. God has given us certain gifts and certain talents in life. He's given us the ability to fight in different ways. See, what happened in this culture here, you have to understand what's going on is, see, the king Saul is giving David, he's giving him his stuff. Take my stuff. It was an honor to receive something from the king. So if the king is going to come and give you his armor to go out and fight the battle, for you to reject it was not good. For you to reject it was dishonor. So what David was doing was he was willing to risk his life. He was willing to refuse the king and risk everything he had by not using what the king had asked him to use. But David already knew that he can't use that. He already knew that God's already given him the ability. When he went and he killed the lion and the bear, he didn't have a shield and a bronze helmet and a great sword and a javelin. You know, he didn't have all that stuff. What did he have? There you go. That's where you talk back now. Chicken wings are going on earlier today. He said he had a sling and a staff. And David, this is what he knew as he was standing there before the king. He knew this. He says, look, I'm going to die in this stuff. If I wear this stuff out there on the battlefield, I'm dying. I'm going to die because I cannot fight this way. And here's the truth for us today. If you try to fight the enemy with someone else's skills, if you try to fight the enemy with someone else's talents, you're going to die too. That's what you should have shouted, amen. It's a good place, church. Amen. The most powerful position that we can fight from is the position of confidence. You see, David had confidence. He had confidence in what he had done before. He had confidence in who he was. He knew who he was. He knew who God was. What David knew was that he wasn't fighting on his own. He knew that God was with him. Let's look at verse 40. It says, then he took his staff in his hand. His staff was a long stick, probably 8-10 feet. And I believe most times it had a crook at the top of it. It was able for him to reach out and pull the sheep back, move them around, keep them in line. Shepherd's staff. And he had a sling. Sling was basically two pieces of rope with a piece of leather in the middle of it. You threw a rock in this middle of it. You slung it around and around. You let it go. As a kid, I used to try that all the time. I couldn't hit anything. He must have been good with it. I couldn't hit a thing. It says he took his staff, his shepherd's staff, the same staff that he drove off the lion and the bear, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook. Here's what he did. He left the safety of the hillside. He left a place of safety among all of the soldiers that were there on the side where Israel was at. He left the place of safety and he went down into the brook. It says he went down there into the valley. He went into a vulnerable position. Here's what he did. He presented himself to Goliath in a vulnerable position. Can you imagine that Goliath is standing over there? He's walking around waiting. I know they're going to send me a man. I hope they send me a man. I'm looking for a man to come out and fight, but they're cowards. Right, and all of a sudden he sees this kid walking around over there. Right? What's he doing over there? What's this guy doing down there drinking water? It's a battle going on. Get off the battlefield. And he began to pick up these stones and he put them in his shepherd's pouch with his sling was in his hand. And then he approached the Philistine. You notice that his sling and his stick, he had no sword, no shield, no helmet, no weapons of the day. But what he did have had been proven. What he did have had been tested. And what he did have, he had confidence in. My question to you today, another question is, what do you have confidence about? Where's your confidence lie? A moment ago, I asked you to raise your hand if you had a spiritual battle and you'd won, right? And many of you raised your hand, and yes, right? A lot of you did. Hey, I have had one of those. The question is, how does it happen? What happened that you were able to have victory over the enemy in that situation and that giant of your life? What happened? Was it your faith? Was it your courage? Was it your prayers? See, these things that we have tested in the fight, prayers have been tested, courage has been tested, faith has been tested. I remember growing up as a kid, this statement that my grandfather made. I've heard others make it as well, but he was full of a lot of country redneck sayings. But I grew up in a grandfather, he was a rodeo clown. And he was always, you know, the circuit in the rodeo. My uncle rode these horses bareback, you know. And as a little fellow about this big, about 4 or 5, I guess. I don't know. I was riding those horses too. Yeah, Carrie got that. Very good. Watch. Had the cowboy boots on, the cowboy hat, and I was riding those horses, and I was proud to do it. And my grandfather always said this. He said, hey, ride the saddle or the horse that has your saddle on him. Use the gifts that God has given you. Use the talents that God has given you. Remember that. And here's the third thing we need to remember when we're facing the giants in our life. So we've got to remember it's God's fight. I I've been in ministry for a long time. This is my first time serving as a senior pastor, and I love it. Probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, because I know what God's called me to do. Do you know what God's called you to do? As a pastor, so many times people come to me, and they're facing an issue in their life. They're facing a giant in their life. They're facing a struggle bigger than anything they've ever faced before. But they have not allowed God into the fight. They're there wrestling this thing to the ground. They are wrestling with everything that's within them. They are fighting with everything that's in them. And my question is, have you prayed? How is the Holy Spirit leading you? What is God saying? What is He telling you to do? I guess I better go back and pray, huh? Let's read on here. Because David knew something. We can read over in verse 45 as we continue. As we wrestle with our own intellect sometimes, and what happens is in our wrestling, we don't really trust God. We're not believing in God. And here's the most important thing is when we're wrestling on our own is we're not humble before God. Sometimes we allow pride to rise up and we're not humbled before Him. Saying, God, lead me. God, direct me. You've given me these abilities. You've given me these gifts. You've given me these talents. You've given me the prayers of faith. Lord, lead me. Guide me. Point me in the right direction. If the door is closed, God, I know it's closed. Here's what happens sometimes, right? Sometimes God closes the door in our life and we're sitting there banging it down. I'm trying to bang this door down, right? Boom. I'm getting through this door. I shut it. Oh, I don't care. I'm going through this door, God. Is God in the fight? Now listen, what we're about to read in verse 45 of this chapter of 1 Samuel 17 is probably the best Old Testament trash talking in the Bible. Now listen, I know how to trash talk. I played basketball for a long time, and the one thing I was pretty good at was trash talking. My boys know because I'm all over them all the time, right? And this is what happened. Let's look at this, the rest of this story here. And then David said to the Philistine, so he's already made his way out there. He's standing in front of him. Here he is. He's got a staff in his hand. He's got his sling. He's got his stones in his pouch. And he's standing there before the giant. Here's the Philistine. And David said to the Philistine, he said, you may come with me to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. And this is one of the most powerful statements in the life of David that he makes right here. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Listen, he did not mention any weapons. He did not mention his staff. He did not mention his sling. He did not mention the stones. He did not mention those things that have already been proven. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. There's another place to say amen. You guys are going to get it. About 6 months into this thing, you're going to catch it. You're going to get it. Amen. This is what we're talking about involving God. He could have gone in. He could have bragged. He could have gone in there and said, hey, look, giant, I've got this sling now. This thing, I ordered this from the Sears Roebuck catalog. This is a nice one. Look, these stones, I picked them out. Now, there's five of them here now. And they're special stones. One's for you and the other four are for your brothers. Just want you to know that, okay? Right? They're nice. And I got this tick. I'm probably going to beat you with it. He didn't do that. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. This is what he said. Let's continue on. He said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He begins to talk some trash now. Here's what he says. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give it unto our hands. He did not take God out of the fight. He kept Him in the fight. And have you read the story of David and Goliath like that before? That's some powerful stuff. You got a fight going on in your life. If you're faced with something that's difficult in your life, you go back and read this story. You go back and read the entire 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. Because this is the greatest underdog story of all time. Right? And it was won because David did not take God out of the fight. The biggest part of the fight now had been won, because now all of a sudden things shift. Right? He knew that if he just believed and trusted and allowed God into the fight, David knew that the battle for the mind and the heart had just turned. Because if you read earlier on in that chapter, what was going on? Here Goliath is, he's standing out there, he's talking the trash. He's saying, send me a man. Send me a man to fight. And all of Israel is shaking. They're scared. They're standing over there. What do we do? What do we do? And here we go. David's down there in the valley. He's standing in front of the giant. He's got everything that he needs that has been proven, has been tested, has confidence in. He stands before him and says, I am going to keep God in the fight. There are two things the enemy wants to come to us and trip us up on. And this is what he uses. And this is what was going on in the hearts, in the minds. He uses fear. Listen, fear is powerful. It's demonic, but it's powerful. And when fear comes and grips you, it will grip you and hold on to you and strangle you. And we've got to overcome that fear. And we do that by keeping God in the fight. This is God's fight we're facing. The other thing is shame. He'll come and he'll use shame. He'll begin to remind you of all the mistakes you've made. And he'll use that shame to hold you back. If he can use that fear and that shame, he's already won the battle. He's won the battle of your mind. He's won the battle of your heart. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the physical. What matters is what happens in your mind and your heart. That's why we got to be super aware all the time about what's going on in our heart. We've got to remember that we're sons and we're daughters. We've been adopted. And the moment that we can get free of our fear and get free of our change, get free of our shame, that's when we're able to conquer the world. Let me tell you something about David. And I'll begin to bring this to a close. Let me tell you something about David. You see, Saul was rejected by God. You see, Saul was appointed king because Israel wanted a king. God says it's not time. The judges are here. It's not time. We want a king. Give us a king. I want it, and we want it now. Okay. You want a king? I'll give you a king. And Saul was appointed king. And there was a process that had to happen before they went to battle. Because even though he was the king, the voice of God still came through the prophet. And here's what happened, was supposed to happen. Before they went to battle, the prophet would go before the Lord and make a sacrifice before the Lord, and God would tell him what he needed to do and how he needed to do it. He would go back and he would tell the king, this is what the Lord says to do. He wants to stay in the fight. This is what he says to do. And then they would do what the Lord had commanded them to do, and they would win the battle. Well, Saul got full of himself. Saul decided, nope, Samuel, we got to go to battle. You need to go and pray. You got to find out. Nope, now's not the time. The Lord says, now's not the time. Well, you know what? I'm the king. I'm going to do it myself. So what does he do? He goes before the Lord. He makes a sacrifice unto God himself. And Samuel says, you're going to die. That is not the way that it's supposed to be done. You're doing it all wrong. And Saul was rejected by God. So now it's time to appoint a new king. And he told Samuel, he says, go to the house of Jesse. He says, go and find the one. He is there. And here's the parade that happens. Samuel goes to this horn of oil. He goes to the house of Jesse. And one by one, he brings his sons in. One by one. Each one he sees, he says, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Is this all you have? Are there any more? Do you have any more sons? Yeah, we got another one. He's out in the field. Why? Why was David not there in that parade? Because many scholars believe that David was the product of a bad relationship. That he did not even have the same mother as the rest of them. He might have been the product of a prostitute, and that they were ashamed. He had shame in his life. But listen, they went out and got him, and Samuel says, he is the one. It doesn't matter where he's come from. It doesn't matter the shame. He is the one. And God used what could have been a shameful experience, and God used. Can you see yourself in that story? The fourth thing as we close is this. He wasn't a shameful boy. And this is what he did. Remember to run to the fight. Can you imagine what's happening now? Here's this big giant warrior who has victories. He's standing there with his armor, his shield bearer. He's got his sword in his hand. And here comes this ruddy little boy with a stick in his hand and a sling. He's running. Hey, look, David didn't stop and debate him. He ran after him. Do you remember what's going through his mind? What in the world? And this is what he says. And when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. And here's what he's saying in his mind. He said, look, I'm calling for man and you're sending me a boy? Why do you want to send a boy to me? Who do you think I am? He's mad. He's upset. You don't send a boy into the battle. I'll call for a man. But God says, nope, I'm sending a boy because I have gone before him. He doesn't need to be a man to fight the same way you have because I am in the battle and he is running with me in the battle. I am running beside him. We're running together and we're facing the giant. And that's what David did. You know the rest of the story? There was victory. That was a great victory. And who did God use? God used a ruddy little boy who probably came from a bad relationship. Probably so shameful that they left him out in the field when it came time to anoint the king. And he came in there with a heart that says, I know who I am. I'm not going to try to fight the battle. I'm not going to try to live my life like everybody else. This is what God has called me to do. I have been in the battle. I have defeated the lion. I have defeated the bear. I have taken the lamb from their mouth. And I am not going to let the enemy, I am not going to let the giant stand there and defile the God that I serve. I'm going after him. I'm running after him. And I'm taking him down. That's the story of David and Goliath. How many of us today are in that position? How many of you today are dealing with fear and dealing with shame? It's time to conquer it. It's time to reach out and conquer that fear. It's time to reach out and conquer that shame. Listen, I love you. But let me tell you some truth right here. There's always going to be a battle. And it may be a battle for your marriage, but there's always going to be a battle. It may be a battle for your kids. There's always going to be a battle. It may be a battle for the things you've saved up. There's always going to be a battle. The biggest fight that we have to understand is not what we do in the physical. It's the fight that's in our minds and the fight that's in our heart. I want to encourage you, do not take God out of the fight. Keep God in the fight. He wants to be in the fight. He wants to go before you. He wants to prove himself to you. And you run to that battle and you run to that fight. We have a choice today. We can become overcomers or we can become victims. That's up to us. Would you stand with me this morning? Church, I choose to be an overcomer. Did you hear me? I choose to be an overcomer. It's a choice. If you're struggling today, I'm going to go ahead and ask our pastoral team to sort of make their way down right now. Come on down now. If you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with shame, if you're facing a battle and you do not know what to do, if you're in that position now, we're going to pray. If you need someone to pray for you, if you need someone to come and just agree with you and hear and pray, these guys are here today. We've got a few more that will be coming. They're going to be here. They're going to pray with you. But I want to pray right now. Church, I know what it's like to have fear and to have shame. I know what it's like to stand in that valley and be filled with fear. And I also know, church, what it's like to stand in that valley and be filled with confidence, knowing who Christ is in me. We have been made overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, we come to you today. Thank you so much, God, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, thank you for bringing life to your word. Well, I thank you, God, that you're still moving in our life, that you're still here in this church, that you haven't forsaken us. And Lord, I know that many of us here today, we're standing there at that valley and we're facing the giants in our life. And I want you, Lord, to continue to encourage them, encourage us, Father, to run to the fight, to remember who we are, to use the gifts, Lord, use the confidence that you've given us, not to try to do it the way someone else does it or another person has done it, Lord, but do it the way that you have called us and strengthened us to go and to fight the giant. And Lord, help us to keep you in the battle. You want to remain in the fight. God, you don't want to be left out. We don't want to have to wrestle this thing to the ground by ourselves, God, because you would give us the strength to go, just like you did David. And the story is that he was an overcomer. He defeated the giant, and they defeated that nation, and God raised him up to a place.